God gave me a word to share with you. I pray that you receive it. God gave me these words to share for all of us to receive it. That's what church is all about, the shepherd feeding his flock. That's how important church is. And being in a church and being part of a church where you grow together as a family. So thank you, Lord, for this church and those in attendance today. And we pray for those who aren't here today, Lord, and just lift them up to you also. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I can just sit around making music all day long. Some glad morning when the clock is over, I the song that they sang at the concert at the festival. Madison, we're praying tonight. I better not want to pray that she's coming to visit with us. She's trying to get some. She works full time now. She works 12-hour days. We say, oh, boy, I need the money, Nana. So, no, she's a hard worker. We're hoping that she'll be here, and if she does, maybe she'll sing that with us. But she says hi to everybody every week. She asks Nana how's church. She probably names every one of you, and she can't wait to meet Elvira. We're going to have a real deep discussion here about sin on the sermon and the message today. And sin is so real. I don't think we realize the depth of sin and what it does to our lives and how it affects other people in our lives, the sins that we commit, and ask for forgiveness for God. Sometimes we do it flippantly, so I hope that today brings you a little closer to God, saying, I'm sorry I did what I did or said what I said, and I need to do better. So would you all just stand up with us as we sing one more? Because without His mercy and without His grace and without His forgiveness, we're zero, we're nothing, we're not us. And who are we? Why me, Lord? What am I ever done that was worth even one of the best I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you? Oh, the kindness you've shown. Sing it with me. Lord, help me, Jesus.
Couldn't even bring his equipment in after, and that's exactly what I wanted to happen. Thank you for allowing that for us, and Zippy, we love you. On top of that, I want to thank Andre, who brought his bass guitar in his amp and played all with us and sang a lot of his songs. I know you asked for other requests, and I just didn't want to sing. I just wanted to play my little guitar and listen to Zippy and Andre. But Zippy, we love you so much, and we thank you. And I know your daughter cherishes every song and every memory that we gave her last week. That's from God, and we just love you. Thank you. Andre, thank you for your time. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's it. Yeah, no, that's good. Now you got to keep praying for Deacon Chuck. I need my hunting partner. It's going to be a great year, and I know it is, and he's going to shoot a nice deer, not a big deer. I don't know if I'll let him shoot a big deer. Hallelujah. And keep Marilyn in your prayers and everybody in your prayers, and those who aren't here today, pray for them. I know Faith and Greg. Greg had an operation on his thumb, and they're still recovering from that. So, responsive reading. Marilyn, thank you. I didn't give Marilyn the scripture readings till 9 o'clock on Friday. And that's my bad, but there they are in your bulletin. How about that? Your scripture readings are in there, even though she didn't get them till 9 o'clock on Friday. Marilyn,
you just didn't. And again, I didn't do it until Saturday because of the storms that were coming through on Friday night.
Yeah. Well, like Andre said, storms never last, do they?
No, they don't.
My birthday. Storms.
Billy, thank you for my wonder. Responsive reading. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You brought back the captivity of Jacob.
You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all your sins.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquities.
Oh my God. If he didn't forgive us for one sin, think of. If he said, I'm not going to forgive you for that sin, you realize where you end up. You realize the darkness, and he just said, no, but he said, I forgive all your sins. He knows all your sins. We're going to have a Bible study Tuesday night. It's going to just fill you with tears and fill you with just God. And I pray that we're going to talk about what David went through and the pain that he really felt and the pain that we should all feel when we fall short of his word. That's the truth, church. Sin is real out there. There you go. Thank you. How many years did the Israelites live in Egypt? I said live in Egypt. They were in bondage. They were slaves. They had to make bricks and they had to do it. And it was. How many years, though, did they do it? Was it 330? Was it 430? Or was it 530? How many years did they were in they in bondage to Egypt? Slaves. How many think 330 years? 430 years? 530 years? The Bible says to the day in Exodus, to the day, 430 years. You think God's a little slow in answering? Think about that. Imagine you waiting 438 years for your prayer to get answered. These people were praying. I bet they were praying, you know, maybe 120 years, and then, you know, and maybe 130 years, but, you know, God answered them. Why? This is really interesting. This is real, goes to the heart. Sometimes you see things and say, well, what's going on with that? Why did God harden the heart of Pharaoh when Moses asked for freedom? Why did God, and remember, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh when Moses asked for freedom. Did God do that to test the faith of Israel? Did he do that to make himself known to the people of Egypt? Or did he do that to test the patience of Moses? Why did God harden the heart of Pharaoh when Moses asked for freedom? To test the faith of Israel? Got that? How about to make himself known to the people in Egypt? How about to test the patience of Moses? He needed that, amen? And Walter says yes. He did it to make himself known to the people of Egypt. He hardened the heart. There was no way that the Pharaoh was going to accept everything in peace. How could he not? Because God didn't allow it. He hardened his heart. And when you see people out there doing crazy, evil things, sometimes God has hardened his heart or her heart to do those or say those things to show us how bad things can get. To show us how much we need him. Evil things are being done and you say all these crazy things, but the Christian says we need more God. You see, that's what he did that. Where's Brother Jim? Deacon Jim, where are you? There he is, you didn't have your head on. How many years should a farmer sow his land before letting it rest for a year? How many years should a farmer sow his land before letting it rest for a year in the book of Exodus? 6 years, 7 years, or 8 years, according to Exodus. How many years should a farmer sow his land before letting it rest for a year? How many think 6 years? 6 years. How about 7 years? We get seven in the morning, Brother Fred. How about 8 years? We got 8 years. It's nice and comfortable. Find a seat. We'll get you a seat. Somebody, come on in. We love you, man.
Don't forget to sign
out. Nice shorts. I can't do shorts.
Morning, Fred.
If I did shorts, people would go crazy. How many years should a farmer? How many said six? Six? Seven?
Seven, yes.
Eight? A farmer should sow his land for 6 years and let it rest on the seventh year. And some of that is biblical to let whatever grows not to do anything for the people who are picking what's left. But 6 years, that sound right, Jim?
Depends on the crop.
Oh. We got tomatoes outside. And well, I shouldn't say we. We don't have anything. Sandy and David have tomatoes outside. If they choose to share them with us, then we'll have some. But it's their crop and their field. Hallelujah.
Are they red already? They're
green.
To whom did Paul and Barnabas speak in Antioch? When Paul and Barnabas were speaking, who did they speak to? Christians? Temple leaders or the whole city? To whom did Paul and Barnabas speak in Antioch in the book of Acts? How many they spoke to Christians? Anybody Christians? How about they spoke to the temple leaders? Temple leaders? How about to the whole city? Yes! The whole city. They spoke to everybody. Thank you, Lord. One more today. Who said these words? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's the truth, boy. In the book of Matthew. Who said these words? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Was it Paul? Was it John? Or was it Jesus? Who said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few? Paul? Anybody get any with Paul? We get Paul? How about John? Anybody? Brother John said it. How about Jesus? Yes! You guys are good. Yes. We do Bible study here, yes, and we do the Bible quiz, so you learn the Bible.
Yes.
So you learn, not your pastor, not your deacons, not your elders, but you learn the Bible. The most important thing about going to church is that you learn the Bible. Because without that, you've learned nothing. And that's how beautiful it is when you all get the answer like that. And those that weren't here today, they don't know that answer. They don't even think about it. But you do, because why? You're here. Brother John, happy birthday again. Belated. Brother John had a birthday. Everybody had a birthday in June. I know, Lily. Put your hand down.
My birthday tomorrow.
I had a birthday too.
Marilyn, are you telling a fib? Deacon Chuck had a birthday and they went for lobster. Did they leave any? Is there any lobster in the back? Did he bring any? No.
A 2.6?
2.6 pound lobster?
The claws were so big you had to hit it with a hammer.
But evidently he ate it all because we don't have any here. Yes, Brother John.
Yeah, there's a lot of conception orders. Something about September.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Let's get into the word. Let's get into the message. Miss Jean, are you ready? We're going to talk about David. How many people know about David? King David, all right? And I spoke to my wife. I tried to get a woman's point of view. We'll share that in a minute. It happened in the spring of the year when kings go out to battle. This in your Bible will be in 2 Samuel. That's how it starts. It happened in the spring of the year when kings go out to battle. Why is that important? Because David remained in Jerusalem. The people went out to battle, but the king stayed in Jerusalem. He was not where God wanted him to be. In your Bible, in your bulletin, you'll see Galatians 5. It says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." David was not where he was supposed to be. And how do you know that? You read 2 Samuel. In the last battle, it said David defeated the Syrians. David killed 40,000 horsemen, 700 charioteers, and he struck the commander of their army. When they saw that they were defeated, they made peace with Israel and served them. David was the king. He was the leader of the military. If they went to war, he should be there. That was his call. He was the king. That was his job. And the last battle he had, because he was there, they won. And Syria became slaves to Israel. They served them. So David should have been there too. But this was not the beginning of the story. 1 Samuel tells us that David took more than one wife. Did God ever tell us we should have more than one wife?
No.
He said a man shall leave his mother and, right? Well, why did he do that? Well, in Lamech, how you want to say it, Lamech, in Genesis took two wives. So maybe he's that was. Or Abraham took three wives. And Jacob and Solomon, of course, took multiple wives. And why did they get? Because David had many wives. He didn't have one, two, or three. He had many wives. Whatever he was thinking. But he disobeyed God. And staying home provided opportunity for ready sin. He stayed home. Opportunity for sin. And it says in the Bible, it happened one evening. He saw a woman bathing. He saw a woman. He did not know her. She was beautiful. All right. So I ask you this. Was Bathsheba, that was her name, was she wrong for bathing? How many times did she ever bathe there? She bathed in a place where you're supposed to take a bath, in a bathtub. Wherever they put it, that's where she was. But how many times did she bathe there? How many other times did she bathe there? Was she wrong? David was not supposed to be there. Somebody say amen. He was not supposed to be there. David did not turn away. Think about that. He looked and he saw this beautiful woman getting in the bathtub. And, look at it. He did not turn away, and it'd be funny. She had no idea. She had no idea he was there. And here's another thing. Her husband was at war. Her husband was off to war. So she probably assumed that David was off to war. If the men were fighting, if the military was fighting, and he was where he was supposed to be, he wouldn't have been there. Evidently, his other wives did not satisfy him, men. His eyes lusted after her. He still could have turned away. Her beauty was the temptation. Sin was present. Bless you. Flesh and desire. His mind was not on right or wrong. Y'all got that? David's mind was no more on right or wrong. What about God? She was the object. How many remember the story of Joseph when he was captured and Potiphar was the king and Joseph's wife? And Potiphar's wife went after Joseph. It's in your bulletin. It's in Genesis. That the king's wife came to Joseph. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." How about that temptation? We're talking about David scenes. But Joseph is standing right there. And his beautiful wife is telling him, "My husband's not here. Lie with me." How about that for temptation? But what did Joseph do?
He said no.
He refused. And he ran out. Bathsheba's beauty had little to do with this. Understand, it said that she was beautiful, but it was gone. That had nothing to do with it. David was willing and ready. Sin, you're laughing, but this sin was all around him. He was surrounded. This man who loved God was now surrounded by sin. How many know that sin is evil? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. We really realize how bad sin can be, and it's going to get worse. Yeah. What does God call it? We say love, God says lust. We say sexy, God says sin. We say romance, God says ruin. We say destiny, God says destruction. Now listen, love is the greatest of all things. Somebody say amen. Come on. Amen. The Bible says love never fails. I hang on those three words all the time. Beauty is wonderful. Of course it is. Romance is food for the soul. We want to be romantic. Romance makes you feel like alive. A man and a woman. A man and a woman. It takes work. You all know that. It takes honesty. It takes dedication. God honors those things. Walter and Jean, how many years you been married?
It will be 60 years in August.
60 years in August.
Wow.
Other wives do you have?
One's enough, right?
Never mind. I'm afraid he might tell us. God honors love. He honors romance. He loves it. But we get to the extreme. We take it too far. God honors and God blesses. Grace and mercy. Listen, let me tell you something that maybe you haven't thought about, but let me tell you something that I know that I told my wife this morning is true. God brings two hearts together.
Yes,
he does it. He does it all the time. God, and if you believe that, then you don't worry about other things. You don't worry about if God brought you two together, then don't worry about other things. If God's saying, what are you worried about? I just brought you together. There's a reason why you're together. Enjoy it and grow together. But your mate is where God wants you to be. When you show somebody, that's where you need to be, or else. Or else what, Pastor? Or else you start walking down the wrong roads. You start hearing and seeing things that aren't going to be blessed. And I'm telling you the truth, it's not going to be blessed.
Amen.
He sees it his way. No matter how you explain it, I love that, I wrote it. No matter how you explain it, he sees it his way. So all of us should. Sin is always present. Little shiny objects. That's sin. What does sin look like? Little shiny. Lead us not into temptation, but it's there.
Are you listening now?
You might say, and if I've said it, you probably all said it. Maybe not, I confess. Well, this won't hurt anybody. Who's going to know? I'm in control. God is watching. So, well, let's get back to the story. So, look at that. Bathing. Wow, she's beautiful. He's watching her. He didn't turn away. And now what does he say? It says in verse 3, it says, who is she? He doesn't know who she is. Still got a chance. So he finds out. She's the daughter of Eliam, one of David's mighty men. One of David's mighty men. That's his daughter. Oh, man, I can't. I'm not looking. She's the wife of Uriah the Hittite, a mighty soldier of David's. One of David's biggest, greatest soldiers. That's his wife. Oh, I can't look no more. That's my friend's wife. I love him. And Uriah the Hittite's not a Jew. Understand that. Understand when I tell you that. He's not a Jew. He's a Hittite. But David's, oh, it's my friend. What else is she? Let's see. He's one of his chief counselors. Her grandfather was one of his chief counselors. Bathsheba's grandfather is one of David's chief counselors. He's saying, I'm glad I just looked. I'm going to turn away. That's it. I can't look no more. I got to, are you kidding me? My two friends and her grandfather? No.
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 What did he say? After all I told you? He says, wait. It didn't say wait in the Bible. I added that. If you look in the Bible and looking for wait, he didn't, but he said wait. He says something interesting. Uriah's had battle.
Yeah.
But after all this thing, the only thing you heard was she's the wife of Uriah, and you say, well, Uriah's had battle. He's not here. You talk about sin taking over. She's alone. He's got no loyalty for those who were loyal 100% to him. Imagine that. This is our David. He's got no loyalty all of a sudden to those three men who were 100% loyal to him. She's not home. He's not home. She's alone. He's the king. So he sent messengers.
Yeah.
He's got messengers. Like Dave's got messengers. Cameron's in. This is why I asked my wife. Does she hold any responsibility? I'm not trying to give her a free pass, but the more I read them, I have to tell you, he sent messengers. He said the king wants to see you. Could she refuse? I don't think so. Back in those days, a woman didn't refuse the king or her husband, but so she went to him. The Bible says this. I didn't make this up. He took her. He lay with her. Then he sent her home. How disrespectful was that? Think about this. I know you're all laughing. I don't want you to laugh. He took her, he brought her into the house, he lay with her, and then he sent her home. Of course, she couldn't stay there. So she went there, she obeyed. He was the king. And it also said something interesting. She was cleansed from her impurities. After her bath and that time of her month, she was cleansed from all her, so she was ready. Listen to me, please. David had zero regard for her. He had zero respect for her. He wanted what he wanted, and he got what he wanted. He had no idea the effect it would have on her life. He didn't care. He didn't care about it. She obeyed him willingly. I don't know, maybe, but he was king. But what was the cost of this little tryst that they had? David took the guy's wife and he sent her home. You know how this, that's just, I mean, when you think about how he did just this awful, what he did to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you're done. What was the cost of this one little sin? One little sin, huh? Bless you. Not only for the two, but so many innocent people. You now think about this. Now he did what he did, but now there's innocent people who had nothing to do with this that are now involved in his sin. You think about the darkness that's happening. Something had to happen. They knew nothing about this, but David did what he did, and something had to happen, and something did happen. Anybody? She conceived. She tells David, guess what? He attempts to cover it up. What about her? What about her? She says, we're having a baby, and he tries, we got to cover this up. I have a plan. I'm the king. He's lost completely in sin now. Trust me. If anybody, you know, the darkness in my life, I get on my knees, and I thank God that he forgave me and loves me, but this stuff is real. This darkness is real. He didn't care about her, and now he's got a plan because he's lost. He doesn't care about her, doesn't care about the baby. He said, I got a plan to fix this. I'm king. I will send for Uriah to come back. For what? Take a break. Come on back. You're fighting in the war. You're a great guy. Come on back. Take a break. He kills him. War is hard. He said, hey, buddy, how you doing? Yeah, good to see you. My faithful friend, come on in. I want you to go home, clean up, take a shower, take a bath, do whatever you got to do. Be comfortable. Put your slippers on. Enjoy your home. Enjoy your wife. Why? Because if he joined his wife and they had relations and then they find out that Bathsheba was having a baby, they could say, wow, look what happened when I came home. My wife and I had relations and she's having a baby. David is out. He's free. Free at last. Even though Bathsheba knows it's a sin and she knows it's the lie, this will never hurt Uriah, right? If he does this and he bees with his wife and he has time, and then she, what's it going to be to him? He's going to have a baby. He didn't know. Enjoy your home and your wife. Uriah looked at him and said, I can't do that. What do you mean? This, not a Jew, all right, but an honest, loyal man to David, he said, loyal and honor, he said, to God, to David, he said, my men, your men are at war. They're sleeping in tents. They're laying on the ground. They're fighting with each other. They're killing each other. And he says this beautiful saying, as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. Now, he is disobeying the king, but he's doing it for a really interesting, beautiful reason. He said, I can't enjoy my house while the people that are under me are at war, fighting and dirty and filthy. David wanted to cover up the sin, amen? That's all he wants to do, is cover up the sin. He tried, this was his plan. He tried and he failed. Did he give up? No. No, he's got another plan now. He said, Uriah, come here, pal. Stay one more night and come up and I'll feed you. And they started drinking and he started giving them alcohol. That'll work. Get them drunk. Yet Uriah was faithful to his word. How about that man? How about that man that was faithful to his men and faithful to David? He had no idea the pain that was in front of him. He had no idea what happened. How much that one sin has caused all these problems now. One sin. David is under sin. Now, David, the man that we love, is willing to suffer to the death an innocent blood. He's willing now to split innocent blood on the ground to save him from his little sin. Innocent blood. Somebody's life is now in jeopardy because his sin. Because of his little tryst with Bathsheba. Now somebody else's life. What does he do? He gets a letter. Writes a letter. Evidently he could be a good writer because he wrote a lot of psalms. So he wrote down and he wrote it to Joab. J-O-A-B. That's his name. He was the leader of the military at the battle. Where David was supposed to be. Amen. Where David was, and where that's where Uriah was, fighting a battle for David and for Israel, 100% loyal. So he sends a letter to Joab. He says, hey, Joab, I'm the king. I want you to set Uriah in front of the hottest battle. And this is what, sometimes you read it and you read over it. He says, retreat from him that he may die. One sin. One little sin that you all think you can get away with, and this man is about to die for his sin. Had nothing to do with it. Nothing. Nothing to do with it. That's how evil sin. That's the devil saying, I got one, I got two, I got three, I got four. One little thing. One little temptation. She was beautiful, taken aback. That's how it started. Retreat from him that he may die. Imagine what he must have felt. I can't disobey the king. I'll be like killed. I'll be hung. And I just, all right. I'm done. Sin continues. Innocent blood about to be shed. David was desperate. I don't know if anybody here has ever been desperate, but he was desperate not to repent, not to confess, not to ask for forgiveness. I must cover this sin. And I wrote that, and you see right there, Gina says, God sees you, fool. All these things that you think you're doing and nobody's seeing, he's right there saying, okay, all right, really? Everything you say and do, I'm sorry, the truth, he sees it. He hears it. I know, I'm sorry. Trust me. Again, what about Bathsheba? It doesn't say that she didn't love her husband. She was with him. She was a good wife. We don't know how good a wife. But that was her husband. She has no idea. She doesn't know anything about what he's planning to do to her husband because she went and laid with him one time. No idea. Well, it continues. It's done. We had music in the background here. Boom, boom, boom. It's done. Joab sends a letter to David. And it's pretty. The Bible said he worries about it. He's afraid. He's got to send this letter. And he's saying to himself, I'm in big trouble. This is not going to look good. He's scared. Joab is scared to write this letter to David. But he writes this letter. Big trouble. Tells him, Uriah's dead in battle. What's going to happen to me? David writes back to him and says this, do not let this thing disturb you. Do not let this thing displease you. He's telling Joab, Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, don't let that bother you. He starts to encourage him. He said, well, it happens. Things like that happen in battle. Joab, you're fine. Everything's good. You're good. Don't let it bother you. That's how deep in sin he was, amen? That's how buried Satan had him, with his foot on him, pushing him down in the hole. He didn't even care that Uriah was dead. There was no remorse for his friend being dead, for Bathsheba's husband being dead. He didn't care. Now, one of the problems are solved. Sin is consuming. It can consume us too. It destroys lives. Let me tell you that again. Sin destroys lives. It destroys innocent people. And there is no end to the depth of sin. And David is lost. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So, David goes to Bathsheba. You don't think of Bathsheba. I talked to my wife yesterday. We had a. Did anybody blame her? I don't know. I don't want to get like a tremendous discussion. But does anybody like, you think... I don't know what she could have done different. She did what the king told her to do, and she had nothing to do with her. She doesn't even know anything else that David is doing, but that sin is falling on her too. That pain is falling on her too. He goes to her and says, your husband's dead. He's dead. Bad. The Bible says she mourns. I bet she did. She wasn't mad at her husband. We don't even know the relationship they had and never told us, but that was her husband. If your husband gets killed in battle, you feel something here. That's your husband. And so the Bible says that she mourns. And after she finished mourning, the hero makes her his wife.
Number 8.
They have a son. This is the first time that the word God is in this chat, the whole chapter. The first time you see the word God in this, and it said, this displeases God. This thing displeases God. Well, he made her his wife. She was pregnant. Oh, Uriah's dead. I'm going to be the hero. He adds another wife to his harem. All the people looking at David, they love David. Oh, he's the king. They say, look at David. Not that David. Look at David. Look how wonderful he is. Look what he did. How compassionate. His friend died and he takes his wife and the baby and makes him. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Oh, God, David, what a guy. The Bible said it displeases God. Like I said, the first reference of God in that chapter. Oh, David, you're so what? I can't believe what you sacrificed. You took her and you're going to have the child as your own child. And oh, you know, the pain that she's suffering, she's going to be with you. Remember I said sin has consequences? Remember I said sin touches a lot of people that were innocent? So how will these people feel when the truth comes out? That one little sin that started watching her bathing has come to this. These people think he's wonderful. When the truth comes out, who's going to get hurt? Think of those people. They're going to look at him and realize he was a liar. That he was an adulterer. That he was a murderer. That he was a thief. That he coveted his friend's wife. Without thought. Without prayer. Wow. Imagine what they think. Imagine the pain that they went through. Imagine not as much as Uriah, but imagine now. They're looking at somebody they loved and adored and trusted with all the 100% loyalty to see him fall that far. And David says, I have sinned against God. The cost of his sin. Unwanted pregnancy. Murder of a trusted friend. The child that they have dies. David's daughter is raped by David's son, his other children. His son rapes his daughter, and another one of the sons kills the son who raped his sister. And then another son tries to turn on him and take his kingdom from him.
tries to overthrow his father. These are some of the things that David faced after. But David learned, probably the most important message of all if I say that. He says, when I have kept silent, my bones grew old. He said, when I was silent, I started feeling worse and worse. Anybody, your bones grow old, you know what it means? It just means that you just couldn't be comfortable no matter where you're sitting. He said, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. He's saying, God, all this time, and I could feel, I just couldn't breathe. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't nothing because there was no peace around me. And he said, I acknowledge my sin to you. Then he said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And then he said, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. And he said in Psalm 51, against you and you only, I have sinned. Let me close with this, just understanding where David went. In the darkest times of your life, in other words, when you're sinning and sinning and sinning, there comes a time where you just feel lost in sin. You just feel, this is just terrible. This ain't working out. And it's hard to turn to God because you don't feel worthy. Why would God even talk to me? Look at the dirt that I have caused. Look at the people I have hurt. Look at the situations that came up because of me, my sin. Why would God even want to talk to me? You see, that's what took David so long to repent and so long to when we come to Bible study Tuesday night, we're going to talk more about that because it's so important. But he was at a place in his life, even though he knew God and a man after God's own heart, that there was no way that he could approach God. He didn't feel worth. Why would God even want to talk to him? He was shamed. He shamed himself so bad that he couldn't even take it. Not worthy. He was a failure. He was a sinner. And he understood that. So he sang, why me, Lord? The song that my wife sang this morning. What have I ever done to deserve even one? Even one. Jesus says, I forgave you. And I believe it's Jesus he's talking to in these psalms. I believe it's Jesus he's praying to. People get crazy, but people think that Jesus showed up in the New Testament. Jesus was, and I tell you, it was and is and always will be. He was there. Who forgives us? Jesus. For our sins. Who forgives us? Jesus. He paid the price for our sins then, but not before that. He was still God. And he was the father of his father and him were God of forgiveness. And God forgave him. But it took him long because he felt so, just so lost. All the time he was lost, God was right there. God was never lost. He was the one. You see, the darkness that he was in, even though he loved God, and especially because he loved God, he said, I can't go to God. But our God is greater. Your God is greater than that. Your God sits there ready to forgive those who ask for forgiveness. Your God is ready to cleanse you of all your sin. Sometimes things happen, the consequences, but he's going to cleanse you from all your sins. He's going to raise you up and be able to use you again because he loves you more than we understand. Give him praise. That's the message. Lord. Deacon Chuck, you need to get better. I need my hunting buddy. Somebody's going to have to help me drag the deer out of the woods. My wife can't do it alone.
I know who that'll be.
My wife can't do it alone. Amen. We got a deer in the backyard a couple years ago, 2 years ago. It was a beautiful animal. I thank God so much for that. That my bride drove the Camry out in the middle of the field and through the brush and the brambles. And we hooked it down to the trunk and she pulled it out with her, only my wife right there. You think she's beautiful. She is beautiful. She all dressed up and put the makeup on. But she's just like that in the woods. She's like that just regular. She'll tear up a tree and cut up a tree and pull branches down. And we're just, she's a, I love her to pieces.
Andre said, did I do it in my dress? Well, I would have if I had to.
Well, you need to see her with those boots on and her pajama bottoms off and on. I should take pictures, but then I'd be divorced.
Mr. Howe, no comments from me.
I have no comments.
Jimmy Howe.
Very few people see me in my teeth.
We're gonna do, at the Bible study, we're going to do Psalm 32. And I'll just give you a little heads up. It's sort of attached to Psalm 51.
They're both written by David. And the 51st, I don't know who numbered them, and they're not in the order what they are. But Psalm 51 is right when he realizes what he did with Bathsheba and his agony. It was like he realized it. But Psalm 32 is after he thought about it for a while. See, it's sort of like a continuation. The first one is he realizes, and then he thought about it, the depth of it, and he writes the Psalm 32. I don't know who gave him numbers. Maybe one should be 32 and the other 51, but it really doesn't matter. But it just goes to say that we should be so thankful that God forgives us that we're not. I can tell you in my heart, after I did this study and I did this and I've been working on the Bible study, I realized we're not thankful enough for the forgiveness. We just aren't. We just don't understand the depth of what could have happened if we didn't get that forgiveness. And it is really dark. Everything that we believe, everything that we want is based upon His forgiveness. That's it. Whether He forgives us or not. And He says, ask and you shall receive. And He said, you love the Son. Love Him. There's so much riding on all these things. And the fact that He forgives. I say some people, some churches do this once a month. Some people just do it once every 3 months. I'm sorry, church, but I don't get a week to do this every day. The Bible calls it the Lord's Supper. He just sat with His disciples and He broke bread and poured some wine and told them that all the things He was going to go through that they didn't know. But His main point was to do what we're doing in remembrance of Him. Why we don't do this 7 days a week, I don't know. You can blame me if somebody says we're wrong. Took the bread, He blessed it and broke it, Jesus, with His own hands. And He passed it around and said, eat and do this in remembrance of me for what I'm going to go through. You will understand in Jesus' name. Amen. I sin against you, God, and only you. I sin against the Lord. Father, forgive me for my iniquities, for my transgressions, for the things I said, for the things I did, for the doubt that I showed, for the worry that I carried, and for the darker things that I thought of. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me, because you're the one. And I come to you this morning for this church to be cleansed. You pour the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. I believe that with all that I am. He said, drink and do this in remembrance of me this morning, church, in Jesus' name. Be healed. Somebody be healed this morning. Deacon Chuck, be healed this morning. I understand, and I know I'm talking about Deacon Chuck, but I love him so much. And I know that my wife and I, the medicine that we're on causes all kinds of crazy things, and I know you all know that. And I believe that's what my brother's going through, that the medicine makes your body do things that it doesn't normally do. So I pray that whatever happening to you today is gone. And when you talk to your doctor, you feel better. I'm believing that for you because we love you. That's what love is. And I pray for Marilyn, for her strength. Let's stand and take the offering. Where are y'all going? We haven't done the offering yet.
Praise God from all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Here's your offering, church, to God. That God that forgives you for every iniquity. That God that forgives you for everything that you say or do. Because He loves you more than you even imagine how much love is. His love is love that never fails. And He said, give and it shall be given back, but you must test Him. Sometimes with God you need to do something before He does something. Because that's what His word says. You give, you ask, you seek, and you will find. So I pray this morning, all the who gave, and God's going to bless you so much, but God is going to bless this church because His people gave to this church downstairs in this basement tonight to bless Second Congregational. Lord, I ask you to take this offering and bless this church greater than anybody could ever see.
Because that's what you do in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Nathan. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I know a lot of that story sounds scary, but God is good all the time. God watched it all the time. There were great things that God did all the time, and He's right with you all the time. He's ready to forgive you and lift you up and bless you. He's ready to bless you. His mercy and grace endures ready forever. Forever. There's no time that His mercy and grace isn't with you. All you need to do is just reach up and take some. Stop worrying about things. If God got you here today, through everything that you've been through in your life, He will continue. It will continue. But now that you know Him, you're going to have blessings that you didn't understand. You're going to have mercy that you didn't understand. You're going to find favor with people that you didn't understand. But it's because your spirit is full of God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Lord, we're going to thank you for this day and just thank you for those in attendance, Father. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. That peace that heals, surpasses our understanding, the beautiful word of God. And we're going to ask God to bless the United States of America. Oh, do we need God's blessing each and every day? And ask Brother Zippy, the singer guitar player, to come up and sing for us.
I don't want to wear you out.
You didn't wear me out. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
God bless you. Enjoy your afternoon. Have something to eat, some coffee and some soda.